Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. Joining me to co-host today is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Yes, sir. We're here.
News director for American Family Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, folks, later on in the hour, like in, 10:15 Central Time, like in 9 minutes, Pastor Rob McCoy, senior pastor of the Godspeak, that's the name of the church, Godspeak Calvary Chapel in California, will be with us. He's the one. We still got his video posted on our Facebook page for Today's Issues. His church has been threatened there. He's been threatened by the government to, shut down their worship services, basically. And so we'll talk to him about that. That's a real problem for churches in California. So we'll talk to Pastor Rob about what he's doing there and what his church has decided to do in light of this. So that'll be an interesting conversation. Abraham Hamilton III will be with us at 10:30 and Dr. Rick Scarborough at 10:45. So basically what we're saying is, if you don't care for anything Ed, Tim, or Fred has to say,
may want to tune in still.
We got three other people. So I would say give us a shot. You know, surely one out of six you'll like.
Yeah,
what they have to
it'll
say.
Be something interesting.
Absolutely. All right, Ed, tell our folks how they can join us on the internet, and then Fred can lead the way with the news.
Well, you can go to either Facebook or YouTube and search for Today's Issues, and you click through.
You search for the meaning of life, too, there if you want to.
Well, you can. But you can find it if you go to the Bible. See how I did? I turned that right around for spiritual.
Yeah, I got you.
And you click through, and you can watch this program on that there internet.
So Facebook or YouTube, check us out. We're live video streaming there. And go ahead, Fred.
Oh, there's nothing going on today, guys. No, sir. The table has now been set for the November 3rd election. Yesterday, former Vice President Joe Biden announcing that Senator Kamala Harris of California once his enemy on the debate stage way back then last fall, he has announced that she is going to be his running mate. Now, if you're watching the mainstream media last night, I happened to be at the gym watching CNN. They could not stop smiling in this announcement about Kamala Harris, how wonderful it is, et cetera, et cetera. There are people who have a difference of opinion on that, and one of them is Ben Shapiro, and he was on Fox and Friends this morning. Cut number two. Here's his report card of Kamala Harris.
Trojan horse Harris is not, in fact, a pragmatic moderate. She is rated one of the most leftist senators in the entire United States Senate. She votes with Bernie Sanders 92% of the time. She originally endorsed Medicare for All. She's endorsed the Green New Deal. She has decided that she would like to ban fracking. We'll see how that goes for Vice President Biden in Pennsylvania. She has suggested she wants to ban plastic straws. She says that she wants to ban assault weapons by executive order, which is unconstitutional. But she laughed about that in open debate. She is obviously an extraordinarily extreme candidate. And she also happens to be really, really bad at this. I mean, people are forgetting she's not good at this. She had one decent debate where she called the guy who she's now serving as his potential vice president. She called that guy essentially a racist and then also said that she believed his sexual harassment accuser. So a guy she thinks is a racist and a sexual harasser, that's the person that she's now choosing to run with. But she's not Machiavellian or manipulative at all. She's just purely sincere, a great public servant.
Oh, Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is a brilliant, I say young man, he's younger than me. But he knows this. I'm just saying when he calls her Machiavellian, he's exactly right because she knows she has a better than 50-50 chance that she's going to be the president. If Joe Biden can't fulfill his first term of 4 years, she's going to be president. She will do whatever it takes to be the vice president. And also, let me just say this. It is not unusual for opponents during the primaries to forget what they said prior when they become vice president. Ronald Reagan selected George H.W. Bush as his vice presidential running mate because they were opponents in the primaries. After George H.W. Bush called Reagan's economic plan voodoo economics. He said it's a bunch of baloney, a bunch of hooey, and then not so much. So that's common.
Yeah,
in the
I agree
field.
With you. I thought the same thing. I mean, you know, candidates for president often get together with their people who criticized them during the primaries to run for a ticket.
Right.
But I think Kamala Harris was, to me, it's different calling in the degree of criticism.
That's true.
Calling for Bush to call Reagan's economic plan voodoo economics. But Kamala Harris said, and what Ben Shapiro just said, she basically accused Biden of being a racist and also of being a sexist.
Mm-hmm. Sex abuser.
Sex abuser. So,
I mean, when she says, now that's a great point. When she says she believes Tara Reid, the accuser of Joe Biden, claiming that when she was on his staff, that he sexually assaulted her, she's saying the guy's a rapist. She believes the accuser, and Joe Biden's a rapist. That is
Fred,
a different level.
Did Kamala Harris say she agreed with Tara Reid, her story, or did she say she had the right to be heard?
Well, I went back and checked on that this morning. Recently, she said she believes Biden's side of the story on that particular accusation.
Oh, she did not say she believed Tara Reid?
Well, what I was reading this morning
that's
is
what Ben
that
Shapiro just
she's
said
not
too.
She is not confirming now what she said earlier. All right.
Well, yeah, when you say you can look that up, but
yeah.
I know she said she has a right to tell her story talking about Tara Reid. Mm-hmm. She didn't say she's a liar or I don't believe her or I reject that story or that's crazy.
No, but Kamala Harris did say that about the Kavanaugh accuser, Christine Blasey Ford. Remember, even before the hearing started, she said, I believe her because she's coming forward with the accusation.
Yeah. You know what? In the end, no, that may count for something. Against her and against the Biden-Harris ticket. But I think most people are willing to forgive mistakes and even hypocrisy on the part of their favored candidates because the alternative is not an option. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, and people do that all the time, Republican and Democrat. That's just the way of the world. But when you're talking about serious accusations that are mantras of the left, that is sexism, misogyny, racism, especially when you're accusing a man of being those things, and then you're saying I'm not willing to cancel him. In fact, I'm willing to be his running mate. That is hypocrisy with all capital letters.
Yeah.
But that's not unusual for people on the left. Now, the hard lefties, they're pretty consistent. You know, they don't, that's why he this ticket is being criticized heavily by the people on the far, far left, the Bernie Sanders crowd and others, the AOC crowd. Now, those two particular politicians, I don't know if said anything critical, but I'm just saying these people that are true believers, they don't believe that Biden and Harris are true believers in their causes. They believe they're more politicians than they are, as I say, true believers in the far left causes.
Yeah, guys, I just wanted to mention that the Ben Shapiro editorial on this is on onenewsnow.com right now. Inside that editorial, we've included a link to GovTrack, which looks at lawmakers in Washington and rates them. Kamala Harris is rated the fourth most liberal member of the U.S. Senate in that. She has the 100% endorsement of the Human Rights Campaign, the nation's most powerful homosexual group. She has the 100% endorsement of Planned Parenthood. All right? She goes to the far, far left. She was Attorney General of California when Proposition 8 was passed. She refused to defend that. She also put a petition in before the Supreme Court in the Hobby Lobby contraceptive case. She thought Hobby Lobby should be forced to provide contraceptives to their employees.
She also compared ICE to the KKK.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
She's for no borders.
Mm-hmm.
And she's for anybody who gets here illegally, allowing them to go on the U.S. federal government dole.
Yes.
For health care.
Yes.
So, I mean, you just can't get any further left than Kamala Harris.
Nope.
I guess according to the ratings you just gave us, I guess three other people could get to the
left. Yeah, Bernie Sanders was a little bit ahead of her.
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We can ask Abraham Hamilton III at the bottom of the hour about his views on this. I think Kamala Harris is, of course, this is subjective. It's just an opinion. I think she's probably just a wash in terms of net plus or minus for Biden.
I think it's going to be pretty clear what Joe Biden stands for in terms of this election. All the things that we've been talking about, Ben Shapiro mentioned about the Green New Deal and all these things. So the fact that Kamala Harris is the same, I don't think is going to be a wash. People are going to be voting on a whether or not to vote for a far left
ticket
or right. Trump and Pence, which people know what they'll get with that.
Yeah. She's not a particularly good debater, if I remember correctly.
She's not a very good speaker.
I didn't watch all the Democrat debates, but I watched enough to know the reason her campaign completely flopped is she couldn't defend her record very well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or speak very well in the debates. So.
She's not an inspiring speaker, let me put it that way. She's a fine, I'm sure she, as a senator, she's a fine public speaker,
yeah.
But in terms of energizing crowds, yeah. That's not her.
So you're saying the excitement level on a Pence v. Harris debate is what, Ed? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being off the charts.
I'd probably watch hockey when they're debating. Let me put it that way.
I love Vice President Pence. I'm just saying he's not known for high energy either, right?
No, that's right. That's huh? gonna that's that huh? is a good point. That is gonna be that could be a real.
I would have maybe
fest.
Have them both like read a book. From the, you know what I'm saying? From
yes.
their podiums and see who can
yeah.
get up more energy. Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Joining us now from California is Pastor Rob McCoy. He's the senior pastor of Godspeak Calvary Chapel. And I'm not sure what, Ventura County is where the church is located. Pastor, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're in Ventura County.
Thank you, brother. Ventura County is just north of Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. We're right on the border, southern border of Ventura County, northern border of LA County.
Well, I watched your video that you did on Friday, I guess it was, which was on YouTube, and we sent it to everybody we know. That was when you were talking about the upcoming services on Sunday and
yeah.
what might happen to your church. I don't know if it was the local officials or if the governor's office. Tell us what restrictions the government has put on churches in California or in your area.
Sure. The governor of the state, Governor Newsom, has not allowed any churches to meet indoors. I think he did that based on the 14th Amendment when he embraced the Black Lives Matter protests in downtown Los Angeles where businesses were burned and looted. So he realized he couldn't get equal application of the law. So he said, okay, churches can meet, but outdoors. Well, you know, we don't have any ability to meet outdoors. There's not a park big enough. So we've been meeting inside since May 31st. And when he didn't care about masks and social distancing with the protests, neither do we, because we've looked at the data, and our numbers are down, our hospitalizations are down. So we've been meeting, worshiping, and they gave us an emergency restraining order saying if we meet again, you know, there'll be a fine for up to 1,000 of our congregants, and they named me in the case.
Okay, who somebody sent you a letter, or
yeah.
Who was it that did that?
our Ventura County supervisors, there's five of them, three of them voted for this measure, two voted against it. They found a judge to, a Democrat-backed judge, to endorse this emergency restraining order. He agreed to it. We violated it on Sunday, and I'm prepared to go before the magistrate for contempt, and we'll see what fine I'm going to receive. But we still met, and thousands showed up to support us.
Why aren't you following Romans 13 and obeying the government? I mean, I do.
Romans 13, I'm glad you brought that up, because I love Romans 13, that God appoints all positions of authority, and the authority in this wonderful constitutional republic we have is found in the first three words of the preamble, we the people. And they're bound by a constitution, those who govern by our consent. So I do support Romans 13. I'm not disobedient. I'm obedient.
And Pastor, I hope you know that was tongue-in-cheek. So I hope you understand that where we're coming from. So, Pastor, we're talking again, folks, to Pastor Rob McCoy, Senior Pastor of Godspeak Calvary Chapel in Ventura County, California. Many of you have seen the video that he made prior to the Sunday service this past weekend. We put it out there. That may be how you saw it, or you saw it from some other avenues. Pastor, let me ask you this. What do you think is at play here? What is driving this? Do you think that these government officials are just simply interested in protecting public health? Do you think they just want churches to pay attention to this pandemic like everyone else? Or do you think there's something more nefarious here at work?
I can't speak for other states, but I can speak for California. I am very good friends with many who are in the state legislature. The idea with the governor is, if he can keep the schools closed and the churches closed, those are the number one places where you do voting for polling. So keep those closed and you can do vote by mail. And we watched in the 2018 election, we got beat pretty bad because they do a little thing called ballot harvesting, and California has perfected that. So this is a one-party state. Democrats have a supermajority in the upper and lower house of our legislature. So that's number one reason why. And secondly, it's control. The only entity left in California that can contend with the CTA, the California Teachers Association, or the SEIU, is the church. There's 15 million evangelical Christians in California, but half of them aren't registered to vote. And of the half that are registered to vote, only half of those vote in a presidential election, 12% non. And the church has to wake up. So I kind of think God is saying, hey, either be relevant or don't. And the governor says that the church is non-essential. And the church doesn't seem to be moved by his declaration.
All right, let me ask you this, then. I know Fred has a question. We're visiting with Pastor Rob McCoy, Senior Pastor of the Godspeak Calvary Chapel in Ventura County, California. Are you going to pay the fine, by the way?
Well, I don't know what it is. Some people were saying they're going to try to put him in jail. I'm just waiting to see.
So when do you have to make an appearance before a judge?
Yeah.
When?
What was helpful is it was supposed to be this Friday, but the judge ruled to give us more time to prepare. So it's going to be Thursday or Friday of next week.
Who's your lawyer?
We got Robert Tyler. He's a wonderful man. And he's just been diligent and great.
Yeah. Well, I know the Attorney General Barr a couple of months ago mentioned that the U.S. Justice Department would be willing to stand with churches should they be threatened in this way. So I would get in touch with them, too, if you haven't been already, and I'll be glad to help in that regard.
I appreciate that. We did have POTUS's counsel reach out to us, and we're moving ahead.
All right, what about other churches? Have you heard from other churches in California? I mean, we need some unity here in standing up this. I know that John MacArthur, the pastor at the Grace...
Well, John,
go ahead.
Yeah, Pastor John decided to join us. We've been open since May 31st, wide open. Jack Hibb at Calvary Capitino Hills, my buddy Tim Thompson at 412 Church. So we have a number of pastors that are standing, but certain counties are targeting and coming after us. And you'll appreciate this. So when word got out that they were going to ticket, give a misdemeanor to 1 to 1,000 unnamed congregants or visitors, a church in California drove 2 hours to our church with their congregation to stand out front so that they would take the fine and the citation so that our people could worship in peace.
Wow.
That's selflessness. And there were thousands of people there that day. So, yeah, California's waking up, but more churches need to.
Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, along the lines of support, what about members of your congregation? Obviously, I think you said you had over 2,000 people there last Sunday, so obviously they're willing to take the risk that that you're taking.
Yeah, our church typically has 450 people in it. And this last Sunday, we had 2,500 indoors and then a couple thousand outside. So yeah. The church is tripled or doubled or whatever.
The elder board ought to give you a raise. I mean, good night. You can't make a better.
That's getting the numbers up, Pastor.
New member, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They're good. They're good men. They all voted unanimously, all 15 of them, and we're standing strong.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, well, listen, brother. We just wanted you to know, American Family Radio. We have 181 stations across the country. And we're watching what's going on to our brothers and sisters in California, and we're praying for you, and we hope to have you back on with some good news soon. And thank you, brother.
Well, thank you. Can I don't ask for funds for myself, but for our attorney who does this pro bono, can I throw something out or just
go?
Go. Okay. Faith-freedom.com if you guys want to support his effort. He's an amazing attorney, Robert Tyler. Faith-freedom.com.
Faith-freedom.com.
Yep.
And he's the lawyer that's representing you pro bono.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, keep us posted, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Bless you guys. Thanks for all you do.
Okay.
You know, it's just amazing to me. You know, 6-7 months ago, we wouldn't have dreamed that this kind of thing would happen in the United States of America. We do stories of persecution of Christians in China, in Central Africa, but it's happening right here in this country. It's amazing.
Yeah, and listen, it is becoming clearer and clearer. We were talking to Pastor Rob McCoy of Godspeed Calvary Chapel there for that segment, but he mentioned the fact how many, what did he say, 15 million evangelical Christians in California?
Yes.
Only half of them are registered to vote, and of those who are registered to vote, only half of those actually do go on vote. That is tragic.
Yeah.
That is tragic. Who knows what might happen in California if Christians got active enough to vote? But it's becoming increasingly clear in this country that the left in our nation, which is becoming the far left that controls one of the two political parties, hates God.
Yeah.
They just hate God. It hasn't always been this way.
And his people.
And his people. I mean, if you can't get out to vote against people who want to crush your faith,
shame on you.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
What else can you say?
Yeah.
Well, we could say other things, but shame on you will suffice right now.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a break. Abraham Hamilton III will be with us momentarily with more. We'll continue this conversation. A lot going on in our beloved America, and we're encouraging people to pray leading up. Pray all the time for our nation and our leaders, but pray for our country as we lead up to a monumental election day, November the 3rd. We'll take a break right here. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Understanding the Times Radio.
One of the most troubling aspects to the battle with COVID-19, I think, is the growing loss of privacy, of government intrusion into our lives, and the fact that COVID-19 is morphing into COVID-1984.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Have you ever wanted to walk where Jesus walked? That's right, Israel, the Holy Land. That's where we're going in March 2021. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We have set our dates for our trip, March 16th through the 24th, and we'd love to have you join us for this, for many people, once-in-a-lifetime trip to the Holy Land. For more information, just visit the website, twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your home, we can do that. You need to call 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll get that brochure in the mail to you. Again, it's going to be a wonderful time with Christian brothers and sisters from around the country as we go and see Israel.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. To play or not to play? That is the question facing universities across the Fruited Plain, grappling with the future of the college football season. University leaders fear a breakout of the China virus, leading some schools to already cancel their football season. The coaches and the players, on the other hand, want to play. Even President Trump weighed in, sharing a tweet saying it's time to let the players play. Aside from being a financial disaster, we need football. The country needs a release valve from months of shutdowns and political bickering. We need a break. Just remember, the same people who shut down our businesses and our churches are the same ones who want to shut down college football. They want to impose as much misery on the country as possible before the presidential election. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern or download my free podcast available at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. Should you want to send us an email, this is the address, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Thank you for listening to this program and to American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Ed and Fred, and joining us now, as he does on Wednesdays this time, is Abraham Hamilton III. Abe is host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock on American Family Radio. He's also a constitutional attorney. Good morning, Brother Abe.
Good morning.
And a pastor.
Yes, that's right.
Didn't have enough stuff to do. Yeah. So.
And raising how many?
Five.
Five little Hamiltons.
Five little Hamiltons is right.
And so seven... So Abe's working 7 days a week.
Well, and let me just say this about Abe too, and his wife. They don't like throw a box of Cheerios out there and let these kids raise themselves. I mean, they're teaching them. I'm serious. You teach them like logic and all kinds of stuff. You know. I mean, this is the real deal. This is real raising here.
Yeah, man. I mean, look what's going on. We got to have boot camp to have soldiers to launch out into this crazy battlefield. Brother. So. That's what we're doing. We're We're in boot camp.
Hey, Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, we wanted to ask Abe about his reaction to the selection of Kamala Harris to be Joe Biden's running mate. I just wanted to play a little bit from the debates last fall. You may remember when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris were not friends. And she challenged him on the fact that she didn't think he was pro-abortion enough. This is cut number three.
Talk about now running for president and you change your position. On the Hyde Amendment, Vice President, do you now say that you have evolved and you regret that? Because you've only, since you've been running for president this time, said that you had, you in some way would take that back or you didn't agree with the decision that you made over many, many years.
The senator knows that's not my position. Everybody on the stage has been in the Congress and the Senate or House has voted for the Hyde Amendment at some point. I support a woman's right to choose. I support it's a constitutional right. I've supported it. I will continue to support it. And I will, in fact, move as president to see to that the Congress legislates that that is the law.
Thank
as
you.
Well.
All right, so there you have it. They are in agreement now, and they are the, I think, the pro-life community, Abe, stated last evening, this is the most pro-abortion ticket president, vice president ever in the history of this country.
You're absolutely right about that, and this may be somewhat an obscure fact, but some people may recall back when, and I wrote the gentleman's name down, Brian Buescher, was nominated to the federal district court in Nebraska. Kamala Harris took him to task for that exact reason, because he happened to be Catholic, so was a part of the Knights of Columbus that opposed abortion. And so she literally used his position as a Catholic person as a basis to disqualify him to hold a federal judgeship. You know, and that was just last year. That wasn't that long ago. It's remarkable to me, and this is just another example as to why a lot of people get so frustrated with politics, and in particular, how can you really take the Democrat Party seriously? Because Kamala Harris directly accused Joe Biden of being a racist, accused him of hanging out with segregationists, and literally said she believes the women who accused Joe Biden of sexual assault. And she's never recanted those statements. But now Joe Biden has invited her to join him on his presidential ticket, and she has accepted. So it's literally the equivalent of saying, you're a racist and you're a sexual predator, and I would love to be on your ticket for the White House. So how then can the American public take the claims that are being made largely by the Democrat Party and by these two people in particular seriously? If they are opposed to racism, then why would Kamala Harris join Joe Biden? If they're opposed to sexual predation along the terms of the Me Too movement, why would Kamala Harris, who believes Joe Biden, according to what she said, is a predator, why would she join his ticket? Yeah. And of course, y'all know I know the answer to those, but how can you take these people seriously when this is what they're doing on the national political stage?
Politically on this, early in the program, I said to Ed and Fred, I think this is a wash, this choice, that it doesn't really hurt nor help Joe Biden's chances versus President Trump in November. However, I'm rethinking that just a little bit, and the reason is this. She is to the left of Joe Biden, way to the left of Joe Biden, talking about Kamala Harris, at least historically.
And publicly.
Now, Joe Biden is converting daily.
Right.
Okay, he is trying to...
Come on, man, it's a dream.
I know. He's trying to get over there as far left as he can go, as fast as he can go, so he can please the base of the Democrat Party. But, you know, I was thinking, who could he have chosen that would have enhanced his chances, not just stay neutral or stay even, if that's the way you want to look at it. And I'm thinking Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Wisconsin, would have been a better choice politically, because it would have given him, that is, Biden, Midwestern governor, or no, senator, who would help him, theoretically at least. I don't know how Klobuchar's ratings are in Wisconsin, but I've got to think that would help him win Wisconsin, right? And she's considered more of a moderate So that I'm just, again, we're just guessing here, but what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think their thought process is,
because they're going to win California anyway, and that's where Kamala Harris comes from. So how does that really happen in a state that may be important?
Kamala Harris's selection is just they're beholden posture to identity politics, and if they pick Amy Klobuchar, they risk they're going to get 90% of, you know, inner city melanated people's votes no matter what they do. But if they would have picked Amy Klobuchar, that would have put a damp blanket on any type of hope for enthusiasm from inner city voters and things of that nature to come out and support Joe Biden, many of whom are not enthusiastic about him anyway. And so I think that's why he didn't do that.
But Kamala Harris fires them up.
Is that
what you're telling me, Abe?
Well, some minority voters that are Democrat
I would like to see a man or a woman or whatever you identify
well,
as.
Well, what's a woman today, though, Tim?
I was going to say man on the street interview, but you can't even say that anymore.
Person
right?
on the street.
A person on the street interview in Detroit and Milwaukee and ask just an average, maybe an African-American voter or person walking down the street, what do you think about Kamala Harris? And see how many of them know who she is, versus if in Wisconsin at least, you would say, "What do you think about Joe Biden picking Amy Klobuchar?"
I don't know. So
what you're saying is he chose her because of her skin color and because of her far left ideology.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what he did.
Okay, and you know, hey, that's the calculation that the Democrats are making, that's the winning ticket to beat.
And I'll just say this, in the year 2020, and maybe the same thing was true in 2016, but I don't think that balancing the ticket, that was the old way of looking at it.
That hadn't been true since Gore and Clinton got together.
Yeah, I just think right now it is ideological purity is what they're looking for, helping with the base. I'm talking about the Democratic Party. So the fact that she's from California, they're already going to win California unless something, you know, miraculous happens in a turn of events. So I think they're just going, we need someone who will appeal to the base, who is ideologically the way we want to take the country. And to me, that clip that Fred played was sickening, to hear human beings trying to outdo each other in bragging about how they're in favor of butchering unborn babies.
Yes.
That is, it's just sickening. I it's hard for me. Sometimes you listen to something like that and you go, oh, that's just political. They are talking about dismembering unborn babies.
Yes.
And they're trying to outdo each other. That it is just demonic.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just go, I'm hearing this, but do we really know what they're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think one of the things that could be done to help, I would say, bring the reality of the barbarism that is so prevalent in our country to the fore, is if, and this is just a pie, this is just me presenting something I think is idealistic, but if there were some way to require those who vote on funding Planned Parenthood and other things to view digital recordings of the abortion proceedings before they vote on these measures, I think we could see a change in the national discourse. And the reason why I'm thinking about that is I'm thinking about the way that, you know, Emmett Till's mother made the decision to open his casket and how that impacted our country concerning the things that were happening in the nation. If more people actually knew what happens to these babies, if more people actually were forced to look at the ultrasounds that some of these doctors use to hunt down their victims and seeing the babies run from it, I think it would change the conversation. But because there's so many people, they're so removed from the actual heinous murder that takes place, it's easy for them to think about it and discuss it in mere political terms and not discussing the actual fact that we have an understanding that sanctions the intentional slaughter of people.
Mm-hmm. Now you need to explain your reference to Emmett Till. A lot of people won't know what you mean by that.
Yeah, Emmett Till is a young man who he was accused of whistling at a woman who was bludgeoned to death, frankly, and he literally was murdered, and his face, his body was mangled and emaciated, and his mother made the decision at his funeral to open the casket.
So that the townspeople could see what had been done to them.
See, and that was a pivotal point in the civil rights movement of the 60s in advancing civil rights legislation, because there were many people up north and other places who just were unaware of just how dangerous it was and how violent it could get. And I think the same thing, you have people talking about, you know, a my body, my choice argument, you know, women's rights argument.
Except when it comes to face masks.
Except, yes. Except when it comes to face masks.
Right.
And these things. But it's easy to have those rote, quaint sayings when you're removed from the actual slaughter that takes place.
Yeah.
You know, that happens every day in our country.
Right.
Yeah. I want to ask you, we're talking to Abraham Hamilton III. I'm Tim with Ed and Fred. You know, guys, Fred, you remember when, I remember when 20 years ago, there was some shame involved, a certain degree of it, or solemnness or regret in having to be for pro-choice, is what they call it, or pro-abortion.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the right adjectives to use, but I remember Clinton, when he was running for president, he said, I want to make abortion safe, legal, and rare.
Mm-hmm.
He put the word rare in there because there was some... there was some concession that abortion is not a good thing, all right? And yet today, as Ed pointed out, it's not, there's not, there's no mention of rare in abortion. It's who can be for more abortion and who can be for the government paying for it. That's the party, that's the Democrat Party
today.
And when Ed mentions that, that a lot, there are, and I'm not saying all the people who vote for Democrats are God haters by any means, but the party itself and the platform they've adopted and the positions they are taking are anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-biblical, anti-life, pro-death, and quite frankly will lead to the death of America, ultimately, of our country, not politically and what we come to know and love as our, as the land of the free and the home of the brave. So, go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, but wasn't it in 2012, this was the Democratic Party that voted to keep God out of their platform?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and
well,
Charlotte,
they booed the inclusion of it.
Yes.
President Obama had to put it back in there because he knew that wouldn't work with the African-American church in particular.
But I think it's a party now whose consciences are seared when it comes to the idea of abortion.
Well, they're proud.
Yeah, they're proud.
They're proud.
That's where they are.
And for her to, anyway, you can't get any more secular, more far left, more hostile to Christianity than this ticket right here.
Yeah.
This Biden-Harris ticket.
Well, I did. I've forgotten. In fact, I didn't really know what Kamala Harris had said about Bush. What was his bill?
Busher.
Busher?
Yes.
Because he was Catholic?
Brian Busher.
Brian Busher. She opposed his nomination to the federal judiciary simply because he was Catholic.
Yes, and she tried to phrase it as if it was specific to the Knights of Columbus, but the Knights of Columbus followed Catholic teaching.
Right.
So, and it was specifically on the issue of abortion. Yes.
Excuse me for interrupting. And Joe Biden claims to be a Catholic, and he's for murdering unborn babies.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely.
You know, it's time for somebody at the Catholic Church to say, stand up and say, you can't do that.
It's very rare for a bishop to deny someone communion.
Then.
Yeah, it's you just can't survive even.
I mean, it's a fundamental teaching of the church.
Right.
Right? About life.
Yeah.
I disagree with the Catholic Church on some of their social issue positions, but on marriage and on life, they're absolutely right.
Yes.
So I don't understand how Nancy Pelosi claims to be a Catholic.
Well, I think...
And then they get away with this position of being in favor of abortion.
It's because for 50 years, now I'm not speaking for Catholics, but I come from a Catholic background, still know a lot of Catholics. For 50 years, maybe more, they have allowed the denomination to drift and not enforce church doctrine. To the point where the vast majority of Catholics in, at least I remember up north, absolutely were liberal on social issues. So if you bring the hammer down on Nancy Pelosi, you
it's
might
a lot
lose.
Of hammering to do.
It's a lot of hammering to do, and you might lose a lot of people
I would say that pro-abortion Catholics aren't serious about their faith anyway, probably don't give to the church, and probably don't attend Mass on a regular basis.
Well, that may be true. Yeah.
That would be my guess. Thank you, Brother Abe. Look forward to this afternoon. And by the way, you and I tomorrow are going to host a special Hamilton Corner Hour where we're going to take a look at a biblical response to the social justice movement.
Yes.
Right?
Looking forward to it. Yes, sir.
Yeah, all right.
Well, that'll be fascinating.
That's tomorrow. All right. Thanks to Abe. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Our next guest is Dr. Rick Scarborough, longtime friend of our family and longtime friend of American Family Association. He serves as a pastor for many years in Texas, and he's founder and president of Recover America Now and the National Pastor Advisor for the Jonathan Project. And Rick, good morning to you.
Well, good to talk to you today, Tim. My first question is always, how's your dad doing?
My dad is 82 now. He's retired, not really by choice. He just can't carry on a daily work schedule like it requires. But he would say hi to you, and you're a longtime friend of his, and worked together on many issues. And I will certainly.
So your audience needs to know that back in his heyday, his quiet and gentle spirit enabled him to give leadership to the lions of the faith as we gathered in Washington, D.C. on a quarterly basis. I will always have a deep affection for your father and also for him giving us you. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, Tim. I'm a great admirer of what you're accomplishing and doing and carrying the ministry forward.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. And, of course, couldn't be where we are today. What does the Bible say? Some plant, some water, and some harvest, right?
Right.
Dad planted and watered.
Right.
Now I'm able to be a part of the harvest team here of what he was able to, he and the team there for all those years. All right, Rick, you got a big event coming up in the Dallas area, right?
That's right. We're trying to pull together 200 of the cream of the crop for a three-day R&R for the pastors. We're providing room and two meals a day for 3 days at the wonderful Gaylord Texan Hotel. In exchange for these pastors giving us the mornings and a part of the early afternoon for training, we're bringing in some of the top experts in each of the fields that we're addressing. What we hope to accomplish in those 3 days is to build an army, a network of pastors who get it, whether it be about Antifa or the Marxist philosophy. We bringing in Trevor Loudon, whom I'm sure you're friends with, and perhaps the most knowledgeable man on the planet from a Christian perspective on the philosophy of Marxism, talking about creating the chaos from which to create change. We're bringing in some outstanding pastors. Our good friend Robert Jeffress will address these pastors, as well as Jack Hibbs, nobody on the West Coast, perhaps in America, doing what he's doing in terms of mobilizing the church. So we're hoping to gather 200 eagles for 3 days of relaxation in a great resort for their families, which we're providing in exchange for time to do some training, which we believe will be life-changing.
How do I apply for that?
The best way is to come directly to me, rs@jonathanproject.org. As you would imagine, because of the day in which we're living, we're screening those that we give these scholarships.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't trying to be funny there. I was speaking. If a pastor is listening to American Family Radio faithfully or loyally, they're the kind of people you're looking for.
Right.
Is what I'm saying. Just to be clear, this is for pastors.
Yes, it is, and their families. They can bring their whole family.
Okay. And you're going to you've got the money to pay for it, so they're not going to be at the church, or them's not going to be at anything, but you're just saying, you're just doing the timeshare thing.
That's right.
Right?
Now, there is a $100 registration fee that is fully refundable, and when they register, we'll share with them how they can get that money back. But we found that if we just take names, a lot of people don't show. So
no,
there's a $100 registration fee. When they show up, if they take time to listen to a message by Steve Regal, and fill out a brief questionnaire, they get that money back.
Okay, when is this, and how do I apply?
It begins with the evening meal on August the 30th. That's a Sunday night. And then it concludes at noon on Wednesday, September the 3rd.
Okay, and how do I apply again?
Excuse me, September the 2nd. But they apply by coming to RS for Rick Scarborough at jonathanproject.org. And I'll then put them in touch with our staff and get them registered. RS at jonathanproject.org.
Spell Jonathan.
J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N.
.org. You don't have a website set up for this, do you? Or do you?
We do, but frankly, it's rather complicated. The best way to do this is come to me, and I will immediately, within 24 hours, have them on the website and connected to our staff who are registering people. We were on radio yesterday, and we enlisted about 25 new pastors, so hopefully we'll do the same again today.
Okay, Brother Rick, well, God bless you and your team there putting this together. We're all trying to make a difference, and we love our country, and we love our Christian heritage, and we want to stand, and you're equipping pastors to stand, and we thank you, brother.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing from those that are interested, and thank you so much, Tim.
Okay. That's Dr.
Great day.
You too. That's Dr. Rick Scarborough, who's putting on that event. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Fred and Ed. You know, some people spell Jonathan different.
Yes, no, that's right. I'm glad you
That was a good question by me, wasn't it?
It was an excellent question.
That's why I'm here.
I wanted to tell him, but, you know, I know we were kind of running out of time. You know, the whole website thing, you're supposed to try to make that easy for people to so
dumb it down.
Yes, dumb it down. Get that web page easy for people to remember.
I said, do you have a website? And he said, yeah, but don't use it.
It's too complicated. That's what I'm saying. You're missing the point, Dr. Scarborough.
He needs to get with his tech team and tell him. We need a website for dummies here,
that's,
man.
That's right.
You're overthinking this thing.
Pastors Good Time at, you know, .org.
All right. We got about 3 or 4 minutes. What do you got there?
Well, there were some primaries yesterday, one of them up there in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Congressman Ilhan Omar will be running again for the Democrats. She has made quite a name of herself as being a member of the squad. There were stories yesterday that saying her opponent in that primary had raised a lot of money, but it didn't seem to matter. She won handily last night. So now she joins Rashida Tlaib and AOC. They'll be back on their respective tickets. And also in the last 10 days, Cori Bush, she's the Black Lives Matter activist who ousted a longtime Democrat in the St. Louis area. So if you needed a little more proof that the Democratic Party is moving further and further and further to the left, there you have it. There was a Democrat congresswoman on Fox and Friends this morning, or at least they played a clip of her. Another interesting aspect to all of this, she said this openly, they have succeeded in moving Joe Biden further to the left. I think she was on the impeachment team for the Democrats. But she said openly, yeah, we have moved Joe Biden further and further into our leftist camp.
You know, if I were a Biden advisor, I'm talking about just a political advisor, maybe a non-ideologue per se, I would be worried that Biden's not going to be able to communicate this socialist, Marxist, far-left agenda. Because he's never been in that world.
Right.
Yes, he's been a liberal for a long time, but a liberal from the 1970s and 80s is a far-right person.
Yeah.
Compared.
By definition, by the left today.
Yeah. All he has to do is support the policies, like the Green New Deal.
Yeah, but he doesn't have any conviction about it because he doesn't even know what it is.
Right.
Huh? Right. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.